You have a song, right?
Yeah, yeah. Shane and Kathy and Micah and Mariah and Charity and Christina. Praise the Lord. Come on up and give us a song. And as soon as they're done singing, Brother Tracy Moore, our associate pastor, will come up and preach.
Together. All right. Since we lost two singers and we haven't refigured this out, we're just singing all of us all together. We had certain people sing certain things, and I don't remember any of it. I got to write it down. But we'll sing a song and pray it's a blessing to you.
I said, did he ask me to go up there and sing? Oh, my goodness. Surely not. Oh, my goodness. That'd be terrible. I I want to read this part of this Devo for today. And I thought of Matthew when I read it. And I thought of us when I read it. It says, "The finest china in the world is burned at least 3 times. Some of it more than 3 times. This is where I thought of us. Dresden china is always burned 3 times. Why does it go through the intense fire? Once ought to be enough. Twice ought to be enough. No, 3 times are necessary to burn that china so that the gold and the crimson are brought out more beautifully and then fastened there to stay. We are fastened up to the same principle in human life. Our trials are burned into us once, twice, thrice. And by God's grace, these beautiful colors are there. And there are they to stay forever." I got this message because I got a phone call this week. Actually, I got a text this week. And they said, "Can you come by the house? I really need to talk to you." And the thing I text back is, "Who is this?" Because I didn't recognize the number. I didn't have it in my phone. And it's somebody I knew a long time ago. Not a long time ago. I met them when I was working at the Village, when I first started working there. And they had lost their brother. They lost their dad. And then they had to put their mom in a nursing home within a 4-week time. And I texted them back and I said, "This is strange because it reminds me of something that happened to me early in my life." In Matthew 5:45, don't go there. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But Matthew 5:45 says this, "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." You know what? Bad things happen to good people, and they happen to bad people.
Right.
Good things happen to bad people,
right,
and good things happen to good people.
Right.
Amen. And it really doesn't matter. You're going to go through good things and you're going to go through bad things in your life.
Yeah.
Whether you're a Christian or not. The greatest thing I told that person was, I was not saved when my grandfather died. I turned 22 and my dad died 2 weeks in between. I wasn't saved. Now, in that time, I said the sinner's prayer because a Baptist preacher came to the hospital room. But I didn't get saved. That was bad, but it wasn't as bad as putting my mom in a nursing home. That was the bad thing. And as I was telling her my story, she was crying. Because, see, she was going through that. She knew exactly what I was saying. Because, see, death is kind of final. I mean, you mourn and there's closure and you go on about your life. But going to see your mother that has dementia in a nursing home is bad, because when you leave, she wants to leave with you. And you know that you can't do anything about it and that she has to stay there. And the guilt comes. And the torment comes. And I told her that, look, there's nothing you could do about that. You didn't give your mother dementia. And all that guilt and that shame is brought by the tormentor. See, that tormentor wants to torment you. I said, the way I dealt with it is, because I was unsaved, is I went and did what the world said. I drank and I drugged. See, I didn't want to think about it anymore. In fact, I said, I quit going to see my mother because it was so hard for me, because she wanted to leave when I left. And I said, you got a great thing going for you. You're saved. And you could go to the Father.
Right.
And you could get strength from Him.
Right.
When we are weak, then He is strong.
Yes.
And I said, don't let the tormentor mess with your head and say that it's your fault. I said, if your mother had cancer, you wouldn't think that it was your fault. If she was dying of cancer in a hospital room, you would say that this is the best place for her. You see, with dementia, sometimes they act like there's nothing wrong. and you get all this guilt because you can't take care of them. But God never puts anything on us that we're not able to bear. But sometimes we think that it's too hard for us. I've heard Christians say if somebody is going through something, that it's God's judgment on him, that it's God's punishment on their sin. You know what? Sometimes that's true. God does punish us. He's a good, good Father. He's a loving Father. And He chastens us. That means He whoops us when we do wrong, because He cares about us. And He wants us to turn out right. And the Bible says if there's no chastening, then you are bastard. That God doesn't care about you and nobody else cares about you, so we're going to let you do whatever you want to do. And there's a lot of people in hell that was raised that way, because they did exactly what they wanted to do and nobody chastened them. I never had a boss tell me what I was doing right. I always had one tell me what I was doing wrong, because they cared about me. They wanted me to be better. See, if I was better at a job, I made their money. I call that the bill dads of life. That everybody's going to show up to you and say, oh, that's God's judgment. What'd you do wrong? You know, Job didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And there was some things come to him, but when I'm going through things, I go to Job and say, you know what? I ain't going through anything. Job went through something.
Yeah.
And I have the Word of God, and Job didn't have the Word of God.
Right.
And I've heard Christians say if someone's not going through something, that they are not doing anything for the Lord, therefore Satan's leaving them alone. I call them buzzards. You know,
amen.
Because Abraham had to chase the buzzard away from his sacrifice.
Yeah.
And there's always somebody want to steal your joy and steal your blessings away from you.
Yeah, sure.
And you know what? Them two people that I've been talking about were the same person. That they was the only person that did anything right, and everybody else was wrong. You know, their life was miserable. They were saved, but boy, they didn't show it. Everybody goes through trials. There are times in our lives where we have said, this is too much. I can't do this. And I'm sorry, this is an old song, but it's not a Christian song. But somebody wrote this, that God has given us a mountain too high to climb. It's not a hill any longer. It's a mountain that I may never climb. And I tell you something, if you never let go of God's hand, He'll get you over the mountain.
Right.
He'll get you over that mountain. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God. What did Job say when he found out everything happened to him? He fell down and he worshiped God.
Right.
All these things happened to him that would probably put us over the brink. He said, bless the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
He giveth and He taketh away. Naked came I into this world, naked I will leave this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Boy, I don't know about y'all, but when I'm going through something, the furthest thing in my mind is blessed be the Lord. It's Satan, get away from me. Guess what? Satan was on him. Satan was on Job. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. We go through trials sometimes just for the simple fact that somebody else is going to go through that same trial, and we can comfort them. you know, I didn't realize all the stuff that I didn't do right until I got saved. And then I looked back and said, wow, man, I wish I'd have been saved. I wish I'd have been saved at an early age. And all these trials that befell on me, most of them would not have been fell on me. But isn't it great of God's mercy? In fact, it says in verse 3, the Father of mercies. This is kind of strange. I did this yesterday. I did this last night. And then you talked about it this morning. It says, if in John, in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, there's a guy running around up there accusing every one of us to God. And there's a lot of people that walk the face of this earth doing the same thing. They're always pointing the finger at somebody. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're doing. But understand, if you're pointing your finger at somebody, you got three of them pointing right back at you. And my God says, my Bible says, if I confess my sins, God's forgiven them. And He's cleansed me. Lamentations 3, it says, and from the... wait a minute, I'm out here at the mercy, excuse me. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You know, God's faithful. And if it wasn't for His mercies, then none of us would be here. None of us would be able to stand. Because I want to tell you something, we all sin. And if there was only one little bitty sin in this world, Jesus would have had to die for that little sin. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how great sin is or how little sin is, God hates sin. Right. In fact, God cannot look on sin. And Jesus had to die for every one of those sins. That's why God hates it so much. I said that this to say this. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you. It matters what God knows about you. And if God can comfort me in my trial, and I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Remember in Matthew 5, that was talking about loving your enemies. It's easy to love somebody that loves you. It's easy to do something for somebody that loves you. How about a drug addict that steals, cheats, and lies? Is it easy to love him? It is for me. You know why? Because I was one once. And God forgave me. So, is it pleasant being around somebody who reeks of cigarette smoke, who reeks of marijuana, who cusses like a sailor, who has nothing to do with God, and has nothing to do with anything right? Is it easy to be around that person? No. But you know what? God put up with me for 40 years. I'm at this place because some people need to hear about Jesus Christ. I'm probably the only person in some of those lives that will tell them about Jesus.
Right.
And you know what? As bad as I don't want to be there, because I call that place Freedom Village too, because everybody that left the village went there, and here I am now. I'm so glad I am there. You see, I got one of my guys there that's over me. And it's a joy to be around him. I talked to a guy last night that they were in the program at the same time. And both of them are doing good. None of them are in ministry, but they're not heroin addicts anymore.
Yeah.
Both of them go to church religiously. In fact, Nate met me after he went through a Bible study on Saturday morning. You know what? They're going through stuff. They have families. They're going through things. And you know what? When they're going through something, you know who they call? You know who they text? I love that. I love being a part of their lives. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to be around them sometime. You know? And it's awesome. You know what was great? I was a good Samaritan the other day. There's a pastor that lives half a mile from that place. They didn't call him. They called me. It's strange how sometimes we feel like our lives doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think that what we do doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things. But can I tell you something? The little things in life mean more to God than the big things.
Right.
There's a lot of people that have great rewards in heaven who never preached, never stood behind a pulpit, who just got on their knees every morning and prayed. There's that little lady at Beaver Dam that writes missionaries.
Yeah,
she goes, "I don't know why the Lord keeps me here." And I said, "I do.
Yeah.
You're a blessing to people."
Right.
And God wants you to be a blessing to people.
Right.
You know what? God wants us to be a blessing to people too.
Yeah.
God wants us to help others when they're going through a trial. I did not know when I was going through that one day God would use it for me to help somebody else. In fact, it was the worst thing in my life. And I was in bad shape then, but after we put my mom in the nursing home, I really got in bad shape. But see, I was doing what the world said to do. Verse 4 says, "Who comfort us in all our tribulation." Not just some. You know, I am so thankful that when I talk to God, I'm not just talking to the ceiling. When I talk to God, I'm not letting y'all hear what I'm saying when I talk to God. When I'm usually talking to God, I'm usually walking somewhere. And I'm just speaking to Him like I'm speaking to somebody that's walking with me. I've had more prayers answered that way than on my knees praying. That I'm just talking to Him face to face as a friend.
Right.
And He loves that.
Yeah.
Because that's why He sent the Son of God on the cross for our sins, that we may have fellowship with Him again. Just like in the garden. I told this lady that, man, when I got fired, I wanted to go up to Jonathan, who owns the farm now. And I said, "This sounds strange, but I want to walk up on your hill." There was a hill over the farm that looked over the farm. And I would go up there and I would talk to God. That was my garden. In the garden, He walked with me and talked with me. And she goes, "Well, why don't you do it?" And I said, "Because I don't need that hill. God's right here. The Holy Spirit's right here." And it don't matter if I'm in a valley or on a hill or wherever I am. I can talk to God and He's going to talk to me.
Right.
So sometimes we want to go up on the grove. We want to get in the trees and talk to God. But can I tell you something? He's in the valley. And He wants us to talk to Him no matter where we're at. All the time. John 14. Verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." You know, that's a great blessing, that we have the Comforter. That the Comforter is praying for us when we don't know what to pray for. I don't know if y'all have been like me, but there's been times when I didn't do anything but say, "Lord, I need you."
Right.
Because I didn't know what else to pray for.
Right.
I need you. Can I tell you something? A sinner, a lost sinner needs Jesus Christ, and a saved sinner needs Jesus Christ. We all need Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's times in our lives when we think that this mountain is too high to climb. But can I tell you something? God is the maker of that mountain.
Yeah.
You know, the disciples came from this great thing that Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes and fed all these people. And then He said, "Go on to the other side." And they got in a boat and they started going on the other side. And all of a sudden, Jesus is praying. And a storm comes up. And they can't go anywhere. I don't know if Jesus is praying for that storm. But I know that there's no such thing as Mother Nature. Okay?
Yeah.
And I told that to a woman one time and she got mad. She goes, well, it's Mother Nature doing this. And I said, there's no such thing as Mother Nature. God's a male. And God created the wind, the seasons. He created everything. And it's God that's making the storm happen, not Mother Nature. But maybe Jesus was praying for that storm. You see, I tell every one of my intakes that God is going to leave you alone for a while. He's going to let you learn some things. And then He's going to bring you to the edge. And He's going to see what you do. Do you really trust Him? Do you really believe? Because, see, an alcoholic or a drug addict, they've ran their whole lives. You see, that's what I was doing. I was running from my trouble. I didn't want to deal with seeing my mom or anything, so I would stay drunk and stay high. But at the village, you couldn't run. As a Christian, we're to stand. There's no armor behind us. Check it out in Ephesians 6. He doesn't give us anything back here.
Right.
Because we're supposed to stand. We're supposed to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're supposed to stand when somebody, nobody else will stand. We're supposed to be the light of the world. But I said that God will see what you're doing. See how much you've learned. And He'll bring you to the brink. And you'll want to quit. And you'll want to leave. But if you hang in there, He'll come back. And He'll let you learn some more. And then He'll bring you to the edge. And see what you're going to do. And if you stay, He'll come back and let you learn some more. You know what? That's life. How many times have you went through something and you say, oh boy, I'm not going to go through nothing for a while. I'm going through something again.
Yeah.
One right after the other. Can I tell you something? Just like Job, God allowed that. God allows that. To make us stronger. The more we go through, the more we shine. The more we can help somebody else. The Comforter has come. I love that. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Let me go back over here. There's an old preacher that I like that some people don't like, but his story was just like mine. And the first time I heard that story, he had been dead for a while, but the first time I heard him story that his dad was a drunk and his mom took him to church. And he did what God wanted him to do, and I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And it made an impact on my life. Do you know what? We're all going to suffer. We're all going to go through things. And if we do it God's way, then we will bless others through it. If we do it our way, we're not going to be a blessing to too many people.
Right.
My family might have been looking for me to see what I was going to do. I fell apart. I told that woman, I said, there's people in your family that's looking to see what you're going to do. You don't fall apart. She texted me back later on and she said, you know, I got to lead my dad to the Lord. I told my brother about Jesus. And I'm trying to get my mom saved too. You see, a great testimony is just doing what God wants you to do at the time. People in this world are watching what we do when we go through a trial to see if we practice what we preach, to see how we handle things. My uncle, who my middle name and his middle name are the same, we look quite a bit alike. his son is 2 years, almost 2 years older than me. And me and Aaron look quite a bit alike because I look like Richard, Uncle Richard. Uncle Richard was a deacon in the church. And when he died, all of our big family, extended family, got together, and a lot of my cousins was crying. And Aaron and my Aunt Janetta and Sheree were comforting the cousins and family that were crying. It was their father, it was their husband that died. So he had Parkinson's disease, and he suffered before he died. But they were comforting them because they knew Uncle Richard was in heaven. Uncle Richard was in a better place. And I always think of that when I think of this. See, in their trial, it was their father, it was their husband that they were burying that day. But they knew that Uncle Richard wasn't there, that he was in heaven. But in their trial, they were helping others cope with their grief. That's a picture of this right here. To me, it is. Are you going through something? Are other people around you going through something? We need to comfort those people. We need to have comfort because God has comforted us when we went through a trial.
Right.
So we need to give those people comfort. Go to 1 Thessalonians. I'll be done. 1 Thessalonians 4. I don't know what some of you may be going through. If you're not going through anything, praise the Lord. But you will go through something soon. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words."
Right.
Man, I'm going through some stuff, but what I'm going through stuff is just real little stuff. It's minute stuff for what people are going through in this world. But guess what? One day I'm going to go to heaven. And all the trials that I went through are going to be nothing.
Right.
I went through something when I was a kid. I don't know if y'all already had, but I had a plantar wart on my foot. And at this time, everything was wrong with me at this time in my life. I was going through a stage where I had to go to the doctor for everything. So I went to the doctor to have this wart removed. And the doctor I was going to was a pretty big old boy. And I was real little and scrawny. But it took him and two nurses to hold me down and put a shot in my foot. That was the most painful thing in the world. Have a needle stuck in the middle of your foot. And I'll tell you something. The 2 days later at the school, I was telling everybody and laughing about it. At the time, it was the worst thing in the world that happened to me. But then after it happened, it was okay. I could talk about it. Some things that we go through that tear our lives apart, that we worry and fret over things, don't really mean nothing. That one day we'll laugh about. One day we won't even think about them. And when we're up there, we sure won't think about them.
Right.
I was talking about a scratch I had one time. And this guy walked up, and he had two fingers missing. I had a scratch on my finger, and he didn't have two fingers on his hand. You know, I kind of shut up about my little scratch. Because he wasn't talking about his two fingers that was missing.
Yeah.
He had went through something. My little scratch didn't mean anything. When we get to heaven, all of our scars are going to be gone. We're going to be perfect. But there's going to be a guy walking around heaven with his scars still there. And we're going to look at those scars every time we see him. And we're going to bow our heads. Because see, what he went through for us is nothing compared to what we go through here on earth. I'm so thankful that I got saved. I'm so thankful for his long suffering. And I'm so thankful that the Comforter has come, that I have the Holy Spirit with me, that I don't have to be on no hill to talk to God and He hear me. I'm so thankful that I don't have to talk in tongues to talk to God, because He understands perfect Texanese. And when we get to heaven, y'all understand that everybody up there talks like a Texan. Oh yeah. I gotta tell you this, not quit. There's a guy over at the village, he's a Ukrainian pastor. And his mother was Russian. And he comes up to me and he says, You unrighteous. I said, what do you mean unrighteous? He says, you smile all the time. You unrighteous. A good Russian never smiles. In fact, when we get to heaven, you're going to see a big wall. A big wall. You cannot climb. It's so big. And on the other side of the wall is a Russian. And they're going to be like this. No laughing. And on here is going to be y'all who laugh all the time because Joe's unrighteous. And he was making a joke of it because I was laughing all the time. But he said his mother would never laugh. That you would come to church and you was dignified and you never laughed. You never smiled. You know why? Because she lived that way her whole life. She was in misery. She was almost starved to death. There was no joy there. Because of the things that she went through. A good Christian, no matter what they go through, ought to be able to smile. Amen. Ought to be able to say, bless be God. That pastor used to say, bless God. And I'm tempted to do that all the time now. Bless God. I already cough. Can I tell you something? God puts us through trials to make us stronger.
Right.
So we could shine brighter.
Right.
So people could see that we practice what we preach. That God is alive in our lives. That God gives us joy. That it doesn't matter if we don't have any money. It don't matter if we don't have any things. It don't matter what is going on in our lives, that we can still say, bless God. That we can still say, I have a Father in heaven who cares about me. My mom loved me to death. There was no person on this earth that loved me more than my mother. But my mother didn't know how many hairs on my head. And God does.
Right.
God cares for me more than my mother did.
Right.
And I'm so thankful that God loves me. Can I tell you something? He loves you.
Amen.
And He loves everybody. We ought to show that love to others. We ought to comfort one another. Even when we're not going through anything, we ought to be able to say, bless God. We ought to be able to say, bless God when we're going through something. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that the Comforter has come. Lord, that no matter what we're going through, Lord, the Holy Spirit's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That He'll lead us and guide us and direct us and comfort us, teach us. Lord, thank You for that. I pray, Lord, that if we're going through something, Lord, that we can take comfort that You're with us, that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And if somebody else is going through something, Lord, that we could be a good Samaritan. We could come to them and pray with them and talk to them and tell them how we got over the trial that they're going through. And the best part about it is tell them that God got us through those trials. And I thank You for that. Give us a good night and bless the rest of the evening in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, have a song of invitation, 277 in our song books. Only trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word.